Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our Old Testament lesson from Ecclesiastes chapters 1 and 2. Well, a couple of Sundays ago when my family went down to Georgia to do a baptism, we had to fly into Savannah. Now, where we were going is Augusta, Georgia. That's where the Masters golf tournament is. And, you know, Atlanta is actually closer to Augusta than Savannah is. But the thing of it is that it was $100 cheaper per ticket to fly into Savannah than it was to Atlanta. So that's what we did. And in fact, we saved enough money that we paid for our car rental to go up there. Well, anyhow, while we had the baptism there on Sunday morning and that afternoon, while we had plenty of time to get back, drive back to Savannah, we thought, well, when we're doing that, it's like, let's go drive by the old house. So we thought, all right, we're going to do that. Well, sometimes that's a good idea, and sometimes it's not. So here we are. We come driving up the street there, and we're looking at our house there, and we see that they had cut down one of the trees in the front yard. And we're like, really? And they stuck a big fountain in the front yard, too. Lots of roses that kind of, you know, it looked kind of cheesy, quite frankly, stuck out there, you know. And so we're driving around. We lived at, our house was on the corner, so we turned to the corner there. And we had planted some bottle brush bushes. You know, they were about 2 or 3 feet when we first got them. When we left, they were about, 12 feet tall. They have put a gorgeous flower on it. Well, they cut these things so far back that they looked naked. We couldn't believe it. So we stopped and we turned around to get one more look, and when we're driving back, because they cut these bushes down so much, you could see through the slats to look in the backyard. Well, there was piles of debris back there. I couldn't believe it. You know, and then as we're coming around the corner there, we're looking right there. They took out a bunch of bushes that we had there, and they were putting in a pond. I couldn't believe it. And as we're driving around a little bit further, back on the other side of the house where we had a bunch of hibiscus, well, they had let what they probably thought was ornamental grass grow. Well, I can assure you it wasn't. It's weeds. And they were about chest high, you know, and we're just stunned by what we're seeing. And Donna looks over at me, he's like, well, if they've done this to the outside, what do you think they've done to the inside? I didn't even want to go there, you know. We wanted to go back, too, because, you know, our folks get outside, and they were wandering around, you know, and we were thinking we might see some neighbors. Well, I'm so glad nobody was outside, because I didn't want to have to explain why we sold that house to these people. I mean, I never, ever want to drive by that house ever again. Well, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. The preacher here, well, these are the wise words of Solomon. And when we were driving by that house there, that's the first thing that came up to my mind there was all his vanity there. Well, while we have the scripture here this morning before us, well, let's take a closer look at why he's saying that in the first place. Well, the preacher begins by saying all is vanity. He's looking around and he's basically saying everything is meaningless. Life is meaningless. Interesting to make a statement like that right off the bat. And what does he mean? Good old Lutheran question to ask. Well, listen again to what he says. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I have applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. Well, the preacher here, he's saying that while what he says he has been seeing and doing and investigating is all meaningless. Now, it says there in the scriptures there that he who went to seek and to search. Well, for you and I, those words basically sound like the same thing, but in the Hebrew there, they're a little bit different. Because that first word, seek, is like to do an in-depth study, you know, to go in and to find out the true heart of the matter. And the search part there, well, that's kind of like doing a comprehensive survey. So here he is, he's looking at everything under the sun, he's investigating everything right to its core there, and then also to just kind of doing a survey of everything. And what does he find? What conclusion does he come up with? All is vanity, a striving after the wind. Now, to make sure that we truly understand what he's saying here, he gets a little bit more specific so that we might understand. He says, I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be master of all for which I had toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all his toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. Well, the preacher here, well, he's stating that all that he went through in life, all that he has collected, all his house there, his furnishings, his treasure, all the gatherings of his labor, all the hard work that he toiled with under the sun to attain them, what's going to come of it? What's going to go to somebody else who's going to come after him? And who knows, are they going to be wise or foolish? The preacher there is basically saying there that he has absolutely no control over who's going to get what he's got, much less what they're going to do with it. Therefore, all is vanity. Now, going back to driving through our old neighborhood there, Donna and I, well, we were that kind of neighbor who had an impeccable yard. We worked hard on that. You drive by our house there, there were no weeds in the front yard. I guarantee it. We had people come by, it's like, oh, I just love your yard. It looks so good. That's something that Donna and I enjoy doing together, working out there in the yard, and all those kinds of things. You know, for us, that backyard, well, that was a sanctuary for us. Spent a lot of time back there. In fact, you come over here to the parsonage there, you're going to find out what kind of work we do, too. All kinds of flowers back there. But what did we do? We turned it over to somebody else. Well, they didn't appreciate the kind of work that we put into it. Now, to be sure, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, and they're putting up cheesy things to make it look better. This is vanity. You know, I have to tell you, it hurt. It hurt every time a couple days afterwards that we'd sit there and think about that, driving by that house. And oh, how I can just, you know, understand what the preacher's saying here in these words when he says, I turned about and gave up my heart to despair over all the toils of my labors under the sun. Yes, indeed, it is despair. You know, by the way, all the toils under the sun in Georgia, it's hot down there, too. So when you're thinking about all that labor that you put into it, it goes to somebody else, all is vanity. So where do we go with this? You know, what do our labors mean? What of all our toil? What does life matter? Well, the wise one continues. There's nothing better for a person than he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering, collecting, only to give to the one who pleases God. Well, in those words right there is the answer. Did you catch it? Let me focus on just one part. There is nothing better for a person than he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? It's that apart from him, apart from God, that's the key. Solomon is saying here that nothing in life matters at all. Nothing does if we do not have a relationship with God. God is the one who gives us everything from his own hand. God is the one who restores our relationship with him. Indeed, it was our sins there. You can go to our second lesson today, and Paul lists off a whole bunch of them there. It is those sins who keep us from having a relationship with God. And that's so why God did something about it. He sent Jesus here to this earth to be that sacrifice for you and me, so that he might earn forgiveness of our sins. This is God's doing, that we might have a relationship with him. For his forgiveness has been earned there on the cross. There we are in good standing with God. And that good standing lasts not only here on this earth, but for all eternity. You see, God is the one who provides meaning for our lives. Think about it now. All that we do is for the glory of God. And yes, there are times, just like I was talking with the kids here just a little bit ago, there are some inglorious moments in our lives when we break God's commandments. But that's why we go back to Jesus, for there we find forgiveness. And when we put into perspective then why Jesus came and what God has given to all of us, then our service, our toil, then in turn brings glory to God. And when that happens, then there is meaning. Now, don't look at life here from a selfish perspective on how much we can collect over our lives. One interesting thing, when Don and I moved up here, we had to downsize. We had to get rid of all kinds of stuff. In fact, we got a bunch of boxes in the basement over there with stuff we don't even know what's in. You know? Didn't help that they Packers put stuff in different kinds of rooms and label it in different places. But point is that it's all down there, and half of those boxes we haven't looked in yet. And when you see a funeral procession, do you see a U-Haul truck following there? No. You don't take your stuff with you, nor do you take that impeccable yard either. Yes. You see, we need to look at what God has given to us from a godly perspective. It is he who has given us our time, our talents, and our treasures. It is he who has restored our relationship with him. You see, when we start to put it into that kind of perspective, then we understand how much God truly loves us. And it is that love that he has for us that brings true meaning to our lives. So leave here this day. Leave here giving thanks. When you're looking for meaning in your life there, turn to the one who loves you. Who loves you so very much, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all human understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.